Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the second hour of Upstate Outdoors on your Saturday, September the 29th, 2018. And we covered a lot of stuff in the first hour. That last segment, man, if you're a bass fishing fan, you already know about this, but the names
Unreal.
Of the big-time guys. I mean, you know, there was – can you imagine? And almost I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm just saying, can you imagine the Bassmaster Classic, which happened, Lake Hartwell, Anderson, South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, down there at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Can you imagine holding that event again, minus the names that are on this list that are going over to Major League Fishing?
Right now, I wish I had your phone with the cricket sign on it right now, because that's about what it's going to be, crickets.
So, you know, I mean, you know, you think about it.
And on that same note, does Major League Fishing create an expo or something at certain venues?
They've not released a whole lot about their format, what they're going to do, but they are not about as much about live as they are about, you know, televised and stuff like that. Because, I mean, they're fishing. What they're doing is they're bringing their audience onto the boat with
that's
the guys
basically
fishing,
true. Yes.
Not bringing the fishing back to the audience, kind of like what Bass does. Also, I don't think you're going to see Major League Fishing gravitate to a venue like Lake Harwell.
I would agree.
I think they would be more inclined to gravitate to a smaller venue.
A Lake Murray.
Well, I mean, not even Lake Murray. I mean, I'm talking about
Greenwood.
Like Lake Greenwood, or like Casey Ashley said, man, I'd like to get
12
of my guys on Lake Secession fight it out.
Exactly.
And they can do that.
Right.
Basically, because there's not a lot of fanfare, because it's like, okay, we got these guys blindfolded, and where are we?
And they'll do a lot of those takes and shows during the week, too.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday.
And that's what I'm saying. So there's not a lot of fanfare about it. So I don't know. I'm
it's
curious
gonna
to see how it's going to happen with the fans' reaction to it, whether they're like, hey, I want to go see it, or I want to watch it on TV. If it's like college football, who knows? Anyway, now it's time for...
Si, senor, today we're going to have a little Mexican dish, redneck style, okay?
Andale, andale, arriba, arriba, arriba!
Deer bean dip. Yeah, get some. All right, here we go. And you don't go nowhere, because I got to pick your brain, too. All right, 1 pound of deer burger. And Philip has a great connection on deer burger. I mean, not that he takes his to get, they do a great job.
Yeah, my connection is via 308 and the 270.
And your boys that fix it up for you.
Yeah.
All right, 1 8-ounce carton of cream cheese. Now, you need to take that out of the refrigerator and let it soften up a little bit, or it's going to be kind of hard to do this, all right? 1 15-ounce can of Bush's chili beans. I prefer the mild, but hot is good, too. But you got to make sure you drain them. Don't need all that liquid. 2 tablespoons of chili powder, or if you really like it spicy, more. About 3 or 4 or 5, or as many as you like, to be honest with you. Sliced jalapeno peppers and shredded Colby and Monterey Jack cheese. That's the kinds I like. You can use whatever cheese you want. All right, you're going to brown the burger until it's done. And if you have any kind of grease, which very seldom with Phillips ground deer, there's no need to drain. But drain if you need it. While the burger is cooking, you're going to spread that cream cheese in the bottom of a 9-inch diameter glass dish. All right, and then you're going to take a spoon and you're going to smooth evenly over the bottom with the back of that spoon. All right, now once the burger is cooked, all right, you're going to add the beans and the chili powder, okay? Stir well, and you're going to pour that over the cream cheese, okay? Place as many pepper slices on top as desired, all right? And then at this time, you're going to top with your shredded cheese, and then you're going to put this whole glass dish in the microwave for about 6 to 8 minutes. Man, get you some chips, tortilla, your favorite, and have at it. What's the Mexican word of the day there, Philip?
The Mexican word of the day is July. It says, you want a new Supreme Court justice, but July all the time. But July about it. Anyway, I'm making that up.
Okay.
I saw that. I couldn't remember exactly what it was.
I know. All right.
I found another one, but I don't think I can say it on the radio.
And this is once again on our Facebook page, Upstate Outdoors. Okay. So you can go there. It's a copy. Feel free to help yourself. It's really a great, like, for ball games. Yeah, go team.
Yeah.
All right. And it's also cool at the hunting camp, you know, sit around later in the afternoon, you know. Ain't nothing like cold beer and some bean dips. And you know what happens shortly thereafter? Give me after bean dip and cold beer. Come on, you do it so good.
Hey, I found the new Mexican word of the day.
Okay.
Nacho.
Nacho.
Hillary Clinton. Nacho. Still nacho president.
Andale. Yeah. Now. On a serious note,
yes.
This week, I'm scrolling through.
I was serious. Hillary Clinton is nacho president.
I got it. I'm scrolling through because I'm keeping an eye on you all the time. You know, I'm hoping to see some more pictures of boat girl in a bikini catching fish, but I digress, okay? Yeah. Anyway.
The restraining order comes out next week, by the way.
I seen you done venison Swedish meatballs.
Yep.
Now, they looked awesome, dog.
Yep.
I know the potatoes and the stuff. I want to... How do you prepare that real quick? I mean, it's probably, can you do it in like 4 or 5, you know, minutes? Tell our people.
Oh, I can do it in less than that.
That's what I figured. What's the deal, cuz?
Okay. So, you take the ground venison, you roll it up into meatball, you fry it on the oven, you put it in a pan, you pour, what's that cheese stuff?
I don't know, man. There's all kinds of cheeses. Swiss cheese.
Dadgum, if my wife was here, she could text me.
Anyway.
A jar of Alfredo sauce.
Okay. I got that.
So basically, I wrote in what I used to make these, and you would have no way of knowing this, what I used to make these is King Cut Processing down in Buffalo, South Carolina, Jonesville.
Great.
They have a ground venison that they call their steakhouse burger. And they put some onions and some other spices and stuff in there. And it's really, really good. It's so good that Boat Girl will even eat it. And she don't like onions.
Wow.
Okay, but so basically I cut it into 12. I take, you know, the loaf, thaw it out, and I cut it into 12, you know, even squares.
Sure.
Roll them up, throw them in the pan, and fry them. You know,
brown them real good.
Done, brown them. And then I put them in a pan, and I put the oven on 400 degrees. And I got the 4 cheese Alfredo sauce and poured it over the top of them. And, you
just
know.
Just let them simmer in the oven?
Let it go. Let them simmer in the oven for, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I didn't want to overcook.
Sure.
And that cheese will get hot pretty quick. And honestly, I'm not that familiar with Swedish meatballs. I'm assuming that they call them Swedish meatballs because they got cheese in them.
Correct.
Or cheese. So, you know.
They look fantastic.
That's how I named it that. But they were pretty good. They were so good that Boat Girl ate them for leftovers last night while I was out hunting. While I was out hunting for more venison.
Wow.
You can tell how much venison we eat around here.
It looked great, Philip.
It was pretty good, and that was the first time I ever tried fooling with that, and it turned out.
And you can
out,
tell you got some photography background in your past too, because you take a great picture of how it's all, when it's all nice and prepared and looks all pretty.
Food porn. That's all that is, just food porn.
I mean, it looked awesome, man.
Yeah.
Really did.
Well, and it was pretty good, and I'm, you know, hey, I got plenty of it, and I fool with it.
Yeah.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every so often. So.
Okay. And while we got a second or two here, not much, if you're interested in some great recipes of all kinds of stuff, there's a website you can go to. It's called backwoodsbound.com.
Yep.
backwoodsbound.com, all one word. And man, they have got, I mean, anywhere from venison to alligator to snake to...
What about two? They got a recipe for a two-headed snake?
I don't know, but it would probably be the same as a one-headed snake.
Because we're going to talk about that later on in the show.
Wow.
Well, in the meantime, just got a text from our buddy Mike Johnson. He says, I'm ready, so let's go to a break. We'll come back with Mike Johnson from the Clinton House Plantation talking about a deer hunting special.
Right here on 106 Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate Stock Station. We're going to talk to Mike at the Clinton House. Going to tell you all you need to know about a good deer hunt if you want one. Stay tuned.
Well, speaking of da-da-da-da, we got Mike Johnson on the line from the Clinton House Plantation. Mike, welcome back to the show.
What's going on, fellas?
Oh, we're just talking hunting and fishing and driving on I-85 and, you know, important type stuff.
I heard you catch a bunch of fish on I-95.
Yeah, we just talked to our Grand Strand reporter, Captain E, down there on the coast, man. It don't look good down there for their freshwater fisheries. They got a bunch of fish pushed over into, you know, into retention ponds and ditches and stuff like that. So the good news is they're really easy to catch. The bad news is
you don't want to eat them.
You don't want them if you catch them.
Yeah.
So. Well, Mike, we've been talking about the hunting specials that are going on this season down at the Clinton House Plantation. If you follow the Clinton House Plantation on Facebook, you've been out there planting food plots and getting the bird dogs in shape. Tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for this hunting season.
Well, did you get your last text I sent you a while ago?
I saw the picture of the deer. Yeah, you got a nice deer on trail camera down there. You already got somebody picked out for that one?
So, Jordy.
Yeah.
He's been all day today pulling. I mean, I think he's got 12 cameras out there. He's pulling them. We found our bachelor groups. It looks like we got some really nice deer coming up this year. We got the deer stands ready. It looks like it's going to be a real good year.
Well, for the folks who are not familiar, you do a lot of quail hunting, chucker hunting, pheasant hunting down at the Clinton House Plantation, but you've also got a lot of acreage that you open up for deer hunting.
Oh, absolutely. We only quail hunt. The Clinton House is 2,000 acres. We probably only quail hunt maybe 400 or 500 of them acres, and the rest of it's in pretty good oak bottoms, good seam lines between the pines and the oaks. We've just got a 3-year-old clear cut, which is the honey hole. Everybody loves to hunt a clear cut.
Yeah.
So we really have a lot of nice deer and a lot of good places to hunt outside of the quail hunting.
Now, somebody wants to, if they want to line up a deer hunt, you've got a couple of different ways that they can do that at the Clinton House Plantation.
Yeah, so it's $200 a day. You can call down the office and book it, and you can hunt. That $200 gets you one of my doe tags, and the way the South Carolina laws flopped on us last year, you need to bring your own buck tag. We didn't elect to go with the quota program on bucks. So you have to bring your own buck tag. I supply you a doe tag, and you, for $200, you can hunt the morning and the afternoon, or you can hunt two mornings or two afternoons, whichever fits your schedule.
Okay.
Which is real nice, because some people can't hunt but morning, and they need to go to work in the afternoons.
All right, and what's the other way?
The other way is you can pick up 10 days for $1,500. They don't have to be hunted consecutively. You can hunt it whenever you want to. 10 days is almost every Saturday in deer season. So you can save $50 a hunt by buying them up front 10 days, and they have to be hunted in the deer season, and you can come out whenever you want to. And you can actually bring a friend and let a friend have – you can buy 10 days, and you can let Tommy have five of them if you want to.
That's awesome. I was going to say, Springer's wanting to hunt down
Thank
there.
Thank you, Mike.
He's wanting to hunt down there in your graveyard stand.
Yeah, I ain't scared.
Yeah, right. I bet you ain't.
I ain't scared.
Last time I put a man down there and told him the story, he shot a little old doe. He ran a mile because I waited till a good piece past dark, and he got a little nervous down there.
Yeah. So
the original owners of that plantation are buried right up underneath that deer stand. Sometimes they just like to come up and talk to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm a talker, Mike.
Yeah, Springer talked about anybody. Yeah, that's not a problem for him.
I'll probably miss the biggest buck at the Clinton House Plantation because I was too busy talking to the damn ghost in the stand.
Hey, Mike, and one thing we gotta say, too, is hunting at the Clinton House Plantation is not like – you know, going out to game management land where it's like, well, okay, all right, well, go find your, go find your spot and, you know, good luck. We'll be here later on. I mean, you guys cater to your deer hunters.
Yes, absolutely. We put a lot of work in. I mean, granted, we're not high fence, so we can't guarantee it, but we put a lot of time, boots on the ground, looking at these cameras, knowing where these deer are moving, and trying to put you on the best spot for that day. It's very time consuming, to be quite honest with you, when it comes to deer hunting, trying to know where five or six productive deer stands are all the time on the property. But we managed to do pretty good. Over the years past, 95% of everybody that comes there sees a deer. 50% harvest a deer, and the other, whatever it would be, 45%, it's their choice if they let a doe walk or they let a buck walk or for whatever reason they didn't pull the trigger on that day and they're just waiting for something better.
Yeah.
So we have pretty good success rate out there.
And now when somebody does take a deer, they're not left on their own, because a lot of folks, you know, they come in, they hunt, maybe they don't know the property as well, and you guys assist them once they pull the trigger.
Yes, we come to them. I mean, we ask them if they show us one spot of blood, if they're busy and need to run to a meeting or go to work or do whatever they need to do. If they can stay with us till we find one speck of blood, we'll find their deer. We'll bring it up, gut it, hang it in our cooler. We'll take it to one of the local processors, or they can come back and pick it up and take it to a processor of their choice. Normally, most people here lately have been just taking their deer with them because they live out of state or they live up in Anderson or somewhere, they would just assume their deer be at a processor closer to where they live. But we are more than happy to field dress your deer, hang it for the amount of days that need to be hung, and then take it to one of our processors, and they can take it from there.
And not just deer hunting, too, but it's starting to get quail season, and you guys have got a great special. Sort of like the same thing that you're talking about with the deer hunting, like a pre-order special on your quail hunts this year.
Yes. If you buy 100 or more birds, you can get them at $9.50 a bird. So it's $950 for 100 quail, which you can break that up into three hunts, two 30-bird hunts and a 40-bird hunt. And you can come out with your dogs. You can lease one of our guides to go out with you, whatever you need to do. But it knocks about $100, $125 off a package hunt. So, I mean, if you're thinking about quail hunting and you want to hunt a handful of times throughout the season, this special runs for just a few more days. but that's a real good way to buy several packages at a very discounted rate. And on top of that package, we are offering, if you book and hunt in October and November prior to Thanksgiving, basically before wild bird season comes in, whatever package you buy will add 10 quail to it.
Awesome. That's hard to beat right there.
I agree.
And also, a lot of folks maybe don't realize this, but if they're coming in from out of town, out of state, they also, you have accommodations right there at the Clinton House Plantation.
Oh, yeah, man. That's very fun lodging there. You own the property. You don't have to leave. We can get your food in there. We can get you cooks in there. We can get whatever you want. Once you get there, I mean, you're like at a resort. You don't have to go nowhere. You hunt on the property. You shoot sporting clays. You can fish. You can deer hunt. You can hog hunt. You can do whatever you want to do and never have to leave.
That's awesome. Well, Mike Johnson, general manager of the Clinton House Plantation. Just like I say on the radio,
yeah.
Don't get frustrated if you don't have a place to hunt. Just give the Clinton House Plantation a call, and they will hook you up.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike, you take care, bud, and we appreciate talking to you. And I ain't scared. I mean it now.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm going to send Springer down there and let him hunt in that graveyard stand.
I'd love one just to have him down there for one day.
All right. We may take you up on that, Mike. Hey, take care, and get on them tigers and tell them to get with it, brother. All right. Mike Johnson, Clinton House Plantation. Yeah.
There you go. Well, let's go to our break. Then when we come back, speaking of deer hunting, we're going to give you 5 tips for early season deer hunting.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned. We're going to give you 5 tips how to put some back straps on the ground. Tune them up, tune them down, bring them home, bring them around. Stay tuned.
Well, oh, are we?
No, I just,
are we
that's
okay?
Been a long time since I heard that
are
one.
We okay?
Good stuff, Money Penny.
Can we go back on the radio?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Alles klar, Herr Kommissar?
That's a long time since I heard that one.
Yeah, there you go. Back when you had the speakers on the truck down at the beach,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Hey, man.
Budweiser. Yeah, I was a
that's back
drink.
When you had money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now it's all natural light.
Or Bush,
yeah.
You know me too well.
That scares
me sometimes,
Philip. I was sitting out in front of the...
Oh, my God.
I was sitting out in front of the
you scare me sometimes.
The Dollar General, and
oh,
I saw some poster for like, I don't know, it's like a case of beer for like $9.
That's my people.
And I said... I bet Springer already knows about that.
Yeah, I got a Dollar General right down the store, right down the road from
Dollar General. All right. The Springer Special. All right, well,
if you
look at mossyoak.com, there's some people
it's a
there.
It's a great website, by the way.
Yeah, there's some people there that know a little bit about deer hunting, and they have provided on their website 5 early season tips. And the cool thing I like about this is it's not 4 early season tips that are just so-so and then a commercial at number 5, which you get that a lot on these websites. This is stuff that you can actually use. And when they're talking about early season hunting, which here in South Carolina, early season is going to be your bow season, and it's going to be your muzzleloader season. And
even a little bit into the rifle season,
depending on the weather. But the bad thing... And I guess it's the challenge of the hunt or whatever, is you got to get so close to the deer, okay? Yeah, to kill them, you got to get. You got to get within 40 yards, 30 yards. And their number one tip is to have an escape route, and that's not for the deer, that's for you. And basically, what they're saying is you want to be able to slip into your stand and slip out of your stand without alerting the deer.
Amen.
I got down this morning. I got in the stand this morning, and I walked on tiptoes. I got up like 45 minutes earlier than normal because last week, I hunted the same stand last Saturday morning. I got blown at. because I was coming in and there were deer milling around that area. Well, I got a it's kind of a L-shaped place where I'm hunting, and my bow stand's on the upper end, and the wind was right and everything. So I had to walk past the food plot and then take a left turn and walk past an area that I've got, you know, cut out and baited for deer to get in my stand. And when I get in my stand, I'm 30 yards from there.
Yeah.
So I got to hope that the deer are not standing there, and they're bad to do that this time of year. They'll stand there, you know, they'll start eating an hour before daylight.
And just watch you the whole time.
Well, and they'll watch until you get there. Then and you spend the rest of your morning going, is my hunt over?
Yeah, no kidding.
But they're saying when you set your stands up, make sure that you got a way to get in and a way to get out without spooking your deer. And wish had that. On that particular stand, a couple of them I do have, and they're pretty heavy hitter stands. Now, their second tip is to use game cameras, and as we've alluded to, I've never been a big game camera fan.
But now you're hooked.
And I'll give you the downside of it, because it takes away a lot of the surprise.
Surprise.
I mean, but you think you know what you're going to see.
Right.
It does help you select a particular buck that you want to kill. And it also gives you some information, because what you start to find out is that I'm seeing the same deer on this stand. I'm seeing the same deer, and they kind of get into the same pattern. It's not a hard and fast rule. But, it, you know, rather than saying, glimpsing a deer, oh, there's a deer with a rack, shoot it and go, oh, man, you know, that wasn't the one I was looking for.
Right.
But I started, it really put out, made a concerted effort to use the deer cameras. And I'm going in and checking them, you know, once a week. And they're important tools for scouting, especially if you don't have a lot of time, you know, to get in the woods. But they're also going to give you a lot of information. You get the trail cameras that have the times on them. And so basically you go through and pull your cards. You sit down and go, okay, well, this guy's showing up on this stand at such and such. That's where the escape plan works.
Yep.
A lot of times you'll see that deer loves to get in that stand about 30 minutes before daylight.
Yep.
And if you're going to kill him, you better get there an hour before daylight.
That is true.
The next tip that they've got is cut shooting lanes. I'm not so sure about this one.
This one can burn you.
This is something that you want to do in August.
Bingo.
July and August.
Bingo.
Especially shooting lanes. Now, I spent last Sunday bush hogging. And
right.
I got no problems with bush hogging any time of year. You can go through and bush hog.
Doesn't bother them.
I actually saw deer,
yes.
You know, because I bush hogged last Sunday. Boat girl had a baby shower to go to, so we couldn't go fishing. I'm gonna go bush hog, because, you know, that's like cutting the grass.
Right.
How come you won't cut the grass at the house, but you're gonna go out there and bush hog?
Different thing,
yeah,
babe.
Different thing. But
okay.
You're cutting shooting lanes, that's something you need to do well ahead of time, especially if you're gonna, you know, if you're trimming stuff so you can see, yeah, I get that. But if you're gonna make major changes in the areas you're hunting, you're really alerting deer to
need to be done. I agree
be.
With you in July and August.
The next tip they've got is prevent human odor, especially if you're talking about bow season. And I'm going to tell you this, and they probably get in here. This might be the only commercial part. They talk about dress light, and I get that. I've got one of the, it's not a leafy bug suit, but it's pretty similar. Where it's got the bug mesh underneath it, and then it's got stuff that hangs off of it.
Cool.
And basically, I wear shorts and T-shirt underneath that.
Excellent.
Because it lets, you know, it lets whatever breeze there is. Of course, that's a downside, too. If I don't hunt the wind correctly, I don't care what you do. And they say, wait to dress, shower with odor-killing soaps, spray everything, spray often. None of that is going to help if the wind is
Bingo.
Blowing from you to where the deer are going to be.
I agree.
Now, I do. When I get in the stand, I've got some, actually it's Doc's deer scent killer, and I will spray myself down till I'm soaking wet with that stuff. Once I get in the stand, you know, I'll spray with it a little bit before I leave, but I'll spray once I get in the stand. And if the wind is blowing, you know, fair amount, I'll continue to spray it throughout. And I believe that I have, you know, cut down that wayward scent.
Right.
that maybe would have busted me before, but I've sprayed down with that stuff and done all that.
And this time of the year, let me jump in real quick. This time of the year, Philip, with the humidity and everything that's going on, you just have to really watch the thermoclines. You know, they'll just, if we start getting cloudy, overcast, and the air is actually heavy, it's actually pushing your scent to the ground.
Yep, you'll get thermal drafts. I mean, you're going to get that. It's funny that you said that because last night there was a forecast for wind, and I set up on a stand that the wind was right. And when I got to that stand, I noticed there was absolute zero. No wind whatsoever. And I don't really like that either.
I hear you.
Because then you're like, that's where those thermals really come in. And so I'm sitting on a couple of deer, not literally, but, you know, they're within sight. And one of them starts acting nervous.
Exactly.
And I'm like, man, and I look at the leaves and there is no wind whatsoever. And then I realize it's starting to get dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so that hotter air starting to drop down and everything.
You're right.
And of course, then four raccoons popped up and really spooked the deer on off. And I don't know what the deal was, because then the raccoons spooked. So I think I might have had Mr. Wiley running around somewhere.
Wow.
But I will say this, because we got to go to a break. The does are starting to act nervous for reasons other than being hunted.
Bingo.
And so it's happening. It ain't even October yet, folks, and they're starting to, you know, you see them looking around, and especially on the trail cameras, you don't see any bucks, any does together. But if you watch the does on a trail cam, you'll see when they suddenly scatter. And then 2 minutes later on that trail cam, there's a buck standing there like, where'd the women go?
Yeah.
So it's getting that time.
Right.
Let's go to our break, and then when we come back, we will wrap up the show with a calendar of events and your parting shot.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Stay tuned. We're going to do the calendar of events and see a two-headed snake. Get you some. Burn, baby, burn.
Well, that's what we're going to do with the calendar of events as soon as Springer finishes reading that big old stack of paper he's got over there.
Right now, let's go.
Yeah.
All right. I just thought this was encouraging, especially, that's why I wanted to bring it up today, and especially after talking to Captain E and knowing that things are still okay, actually on the beach, okay, at the saltwater. So shellfish season opens October the 1st, and according to the DNR, and they saying, you know, in the event of another hurricane and major rain event, you know, they'll close it, which is, you know, the smart thing to do. So if you're interested in going and getting you some cool fresh oysters, it opens October the 1st, and all the information is available on the DNR website. Okay, you know how I am about my oysters and shellfish. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
And that's actually a little bit surprising. I wonder if they did a partial closure in places. But.
No, I looked that up yesterday late afternoon, and I was like, wow, okay. So as far as I know, nothing's closed.
Yeah.
Okay, now that could have changed this morning. But
Hilton Head, Charleston, I'd be fine with it. But I don't know about Georgetown.
That's why I was so surprised, and I was like, wow. So I went ahead and pulled it. So anyway, on the real calendar of events, we've got some Hunting Heritage Banquet, Dutch Fork, South Carolina, Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church in Chapin, South Carolina.
Yep.
And that's coming up on the 4th of October at 6 p.m. And that's going to be on Ferry Road in Chapin. And for more information, you can call Brian Jacobson at 330-936-7351. And coming up on the 5th of October, right here locally, the Mountain Bridge Chapter of Trout Unlimited, 3rd Annual Film Fest and Fundraiser will be held at the Brewery 85 in Greenville, October 5th from 5 to 9 p.m. Pre-party starts at 5, band games and all kinds of raffles and auctions, door prizes, and $20 per ticket. And, you know, go check that out, and that will be Brewery 85 in Greenville.
So they have a pre-party for the film festival.
Right.
For the Mountain Bridge Chapter of Trout Unlimited. Depending on how you act, you might get invited to the after party.
Exactly.
That's where all the cool people hang out.
That's why I never made it to no after parties. Also, we got some QDMA banquets going on. We got the Lake Murray. I like the way this is. QDMA, brew, and Q. Okay? Get you some. All right. That's at the Bunch Rivers House. And that's going to be on the 6th of October from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that's in Bamberg. Is that the correct way to pronounce that?
Yep.
Okay, South Carolina. $20 a ticket. And for any information, call Jennifer Hodge at 803-608-0826. And on any of those, you can go to their QDMA website, the local chapters, and also the NWTF, National Wild Turkey Federation, and all those events are available there. And this one coming up, here we go. Go Tigers, Clemson Bass Fishing Team Fall Fundraiser Tournament, Lake Hartwell, Saturday, October 13th, Green Pond Landing. I think you ought to go down there and win the whole thing, Philip. Oh, you can't. You got to do radio. First place, $1,000 guaranteed, tournament fee. Big fish included, $110, safe flight to 3 p.m. or by flights. And if you're interested in this, contact Jonathan Jones at 864-642-5370 or go to jbj5@g.clemson.edu. All right, I think I got one more here. My pages are sticking together. Yes, I do. Hunting Heritage Banquet, Piedmont Chapter, South Carolina, National Wild Turkey Federation, South Carolina National Guard Armory, at in Union at 165 Industrial Park Road. And for more information on that one, you can contact Steve Cobb at 864-427-0653. And that is your calendar events for today.
Awesome. Well, oh, wait.
What? I wish you people out there in Radio Land could see the looks the famous Money Penny gives us two knuckleheads, okay? Yeah.
We'll send you a picture of it. Yeah. I got one. We'll send you a picture of Money Penny going like,
you really? Moron.
5 years. 5 years and you idiots can't take your cues. Still can't take your cues. Well, our parting shot for today, this was on several different, I hate it when there's a story and it's run on several different ones, and like CNN did one and I wasn't even going to read it.
No.
And Washington Post did one and I'm like, yeah, whatever. So the most innocuous coverage that I could find,
word.
I mean, seriously, that's the way you got to do it, is this is from the interestingengineering.com website. So check them out. A woman finds a terrifying two-headed venomous snake in her flower bed. A baby copperhead, snakes with one head are terrifying enough for most people, but a snake with two heads, well, that's a horrific sight. One Virginia woman encountered while tending a neighbor's flower bed. Stephanie Myers discovered a snake and told local media, "I wanted to look away, but I couldn't stop looking at it." It was like a snake train wreck.
I had it mesmerized.
Yeah, it was looking at me.
Remember that daggum movie, the Jungle Boy, Jungle Book, where that python would look at him with those crazy eyes and put him in the trance?
Maybe that's what was happening with her. Well, several wildlife experts took to the internet to help identify the snake. One of those experts was Rich Perry, who owns and operates Virginia Wildlife Management and Control in Powhatan, Virginia. A friend of Perry sent him a picture of the snake taken by Myers. I mean, if you look at it, it's pretty standard that it's a copperhead. It's
no
just,
doubt.
It's two copperheads.
Basically.
Yeah, she was afraid it would get away. And having kids and pets, she was afraid they were going to get bit. And as Perry pointed out, Myers had every right to be concerned about the snake in the grass because it was a copperhead. Now, venomous copperheads aren't uncommon for most residents in North America. Click the pop-up. Thank you. Especially for residents in southeastern U.S. or in forested temperate climates. They're the venomous snake most likely to bite when triggered, but their bites are rarely fatal where humans are involved. They're pit vipers. That's where you get into the engineering part. Because they're going to tell you every minute detail about it, and you don't care.
They're breaking it down.
Yeah, breaking it down. Now, what do you do with a two-headed snake? Herpetologists at the Wildlife Center of Virginia are currently caring for the snake. In a press statement, they noted that the baby had quite a unique build, even for a two-headed snake. It appears, though, here again, more engineering stuff. The left head is the ventricles and jerk. Anyway. It's a rare snake. I'm gonna paraphrase for you for the rest of this.
That'd be cool.
For you.
For us regular folks.
We'll get John Turner in here to talk about all the engineering stuff. I tell you what, we won't. Look over the end of the show. So I want to thank our guests, Captain E and Mike Johnson. And we made it through another show, Springer. Take us home.
God bless. Thank y'all being there. Stay safe. And we enjoy you every week. Get outside. It'll cleanse your soul.
Look out for them two-headed snakes.
They'll get you every time. Woo!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.